Welcome to Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news, trends, and hottest topics that focus on advances in cybersecurity and cyber industry economics. Our expert yet down-to-earth hosts make cybersecurity straightforward. They ask the tough questions and make this challenging topic something that everyone can understand. Our candid approach lets guests open up on topics we would all like to see addressed. You can find us on the web at newcyberfrontier.com. That's www.newcyberfrontier.com. Now join today's host as he introduces the topic for today's New Cyber Frontier.
Welcome to the New Cyber Frontier. My name is Sean Murray. I'll be your host today. I've got Martha Loffman from SmoothStack. Martha is the Director of Workforce Development for Military Programs. Welcome to the show, Martha. How are you today?
Hi, Sean. Thank you.
Good to see you. Hey, so you know you've been in this type of role here for the last several years, and the title doesn't seem to change. And I know it's one of your passions. So, welcome to the show. You know, we're going to talk about the cyber workforce development, cyber workforce. Professional development, the differences between the two, the skills gap that continues to plague the industry right now. It's having an impact. We're in the middle of a pandemic, and so things are changing. And so we'd love to get your perspective on something that I know that you've been passionate about for years. So again, welcome to the show. Let's start out, you know, what do you see as the major gap right now in cyber credentials or cyber credibility? And so cyber being IT for our audience and cybersecurity being the security of IT, right? What's your opinion on that?
On why is there a skill gap or what is the gap?
What is it? All of it, right? What is the skill gap and you know, why is it a problem?
Yeah, I think that there's a gap because for so long the traditional pathway really was dependent on the university systems producing our talent, right? And the university systems, it was really taking them that 5 to 7 years to get people really ready to take on a cyber role in organizations, right? So first they went through their 4-year degree and then they really learned their hands-on skills in the workplace. And then, you know, depending on what, you know, era we're talking about would back that up at some point with certifications. And that we just realized we got ourselves in a pickle a few years back where we realized we can't wait 7 years for these 6,000 people coming out of this degree program every year, right? We are increasing our gap, you know, exponentially every single year in cybersecurity. So people start looking for alternative ways to produce that talent. And we really started to look towards, you know, the 2Y programs, the community colleges, the technical schools, boot camps, and then just people that had certifications to begin with. And I think what we found is a few different problems with each one of these, right? So if you are coming out of an education program, then your program, chances are, for the university at least, we're pretty scholar heavy. So if we think of the scholar practitioner model in education, we're thinking of, do you know the theories behind why things work the way that they do, right? So that's the scholar part that universities are really heavy on. And then the practitioner part is, can you do it, right? So if you're a pen tester, can you push that button every time and, you know, get the program to work? But you don't really know why it's doing what it does, right? And I think we found that boot camps were really hands-on, but they didn't have any of the theoretical knowledge that was needed or expected at the time. And that certifications really was just acquiring that cert, but maybe they didn't have the theoretical knowledge and they probably weren't hands-on. And then people at the university had the theoretical knowledge, but they didn't have the certs and they weren't hands-on. And I think it really kind of put our community into a spin to kind of figure out, well, what's the answer then? Does that mean that we have to go back to our, you know, our fallacy appeal to history, right? And say, okay, well, do we need to do this the way we've been doing it this whole entire time? Or can we look at this from a new perspective and say, what pieces from each one of those do we need? And how do we define that? And I'm sure, you know, this is where, you know, the NICE framework has really come into play. And not just the NICE framework, there are lots of different organizations and groups of people out there trying to define what knowledge, skills, and abilities are necessary for each one of these, you know, dozens and dozens and dozens of roles out there, and what's the best way, most efficient way to get it, and how do we streamline that process so we can have a steady flow of talent that does meet industry needs. And to make it more complicated, our needs are changing, right? Constantly. New products are changing. You know, policy is changing. So
yeah, that's
my quick answer.
Yeah, but there's a lot to it. And so it's, you know, when we take a look at it, it is kind of complicated. It's not an easy fix. There's a lot of moving parts we need to understand. We're talking to Martha Loffman over at SmoothStack. She's the Director of Workforce Development for Military Programs. We'll be right back after this message.
Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
Welcome back to the New Cyber Frontier. My name is Sean Murray. I am your host today. We are with Martha Loffman from SmoothStack. She's the Director of Workforce Development on Military Programs. You know, we're talking about the skills gap for cybersecurity positions. And, you know, you gave us a rundown just before the break on how complicated it really is. You talked about education, the core, the philosophy, the foundational things that we'd like to have a lot of our cybersecurity or IT professionals to have, and that's important. But you know, we can't necessarily wait 4 to 8 years for those professionals to get through their academic. We talked about the quality skill sets that some certifications bring, but you know, a certification provides some skills, but not necessarily the foundational, the theoretical things that would make somebody that much more valuable when they transition into the workforce. So I know you bring up a good point with there's a university that we that I ended up going out with 40 other people, and they aligned the NICE framework with cybersecurity certifications built into the curriculum into a 4-year program. And so it was a great idea. It aligned all of those things that you're talking about. But then when we all got into the room with this major university, they had all of the different certification credentials aligned with the wrong programs. And so when we attempted to give them feedback, look, CEH, Certified Ethical Hacker, does not belong into a defensive curriculum. It's an offensive, it's pen testing. And they were like, well, no, you know, we brought you out here just to provide credibility for our program. We really don't want your opinion. And so I'm like, wow. So I'm sorry, I'm going to have to back out if you're not going to listen to everyone that's here. And we've tried that over about a half an hour, and they finally said, look, you know, the only reason we brought you out here, wined and dined you, is so that we could say that we contacted industry professionals. I'm like, yeah, take my list, name off your list. I don't want that credibility, my credibility, becoming questioned on your program. So how do you answer that type of issue? They had a great idea, but the implementation of it and getting the industry expertise to help them be successful was disregarded.
Well, first of all, no one's tried to wine and dine me for my opinion, so kudos to you. I would take that. No, I think that, you know, I went to university, you know, and I would never put down, you know, what I would consider a liberal education. I think that, you know, when I look at the purpose of a 4-year degree, it really isn't rooted in employment. And I think that we forget that. I think that we forget that the purpose of the majority of 4-year degrees, especially those that are coming from, you know, a liberal conventional education, you know, framework, is really to create, you know, education, right? It's really to produce someone who's well educated. Can you read? Can you write? You know, philosophy and history, you know, can you speak well, and, you know, can you navigate, you know, what's going to come at you in the future and think things through. So they're really trying to mold your mind, if you will, and prep your brain. They're not constructed necessarily to, you know, produce someone who's, you know, implementing the work, if you will. And, you know, I feel like, you know, I say this statement, I mean, a lot of people say, no, that's not true, because I went to an engineering program, or, you know, I have my BS, you know, bachelor's in nursing. And there certainly are a lot of programs for that. But I feel like it still comes from a culture that is more focused on education and scholar, and less focused on, you know, producing that talent that can do that work. And so, you know, I think it's, you know, I don't necessarily want to change universities. I think that it's great that they're mapped in a nice framework, and that they, their career services do a great job, and, you know, they do what they do, but I think we need a different answer, right? We need somebody else out there to say, what can we do to produce this talent that can be operational in less time? Because not everybody has to have a four-year degree or a master's or a PhD. And, you know, before this, you and I were just speaking earlier on, you know, this idea of skilled labor and the difference between skilled labor 100 years ago, 200 years ago versus today. And I would argue that in today's world, you know, IT is skilled labor. And if you think of it, 100 years ago, if you wanted to be a brick mason, you didn't go to a university and get a four-year degree to lay brick. You went and you learned the skills you needed to learn, and practiced that on the job until you became to the level where you could do it on your own.
Yeah, so you're talking about apprenticeships. And so that's kind of where we wanted to focus a little bit of the conversation. So, you know, and I agree, I'll be honest with you, when I'm hiring people now, you know, I'm looking at the resume. Oh, you've got Linux experience. Oh, you've got, you know, a couple of SAN certs. Wow, that's great. Now I'm going to put you, before I invest all that money, because you're paying IT people a lot of money, and we don't want to hire somebody, they get on the job and they don't know what to do, or they don't know what they're doing, but you've got a cert and you went to school. We're actually putting people on cyber ranges now to demonstrate the skills that they say they have. So how would you incorporate like something like that into a cyber or a cybersecurity internship?
Well, I think there's a lot of different ways to, you know, get that on the job training component. I think internships are good. I think that frequently internships work well if it's with a single employer model. So if a single employer knows that, you know, they want to get talent from a particular education or training provider, and they can early on select that talent and have internship opportunities to see how they work in the workplace, I think that works great. But internships, you know, I don't believe are the answer nationwide, or they're not scalable. They're not comprehensive models. So an apprenticeship is a little bit different than an internship, right? So apprenticeships, which are, am I okay to keep going on apprenticeships?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Apprenticeships, which can be registered or unregistered, but the basic model of an apprenticeship is it's a combination of RTI, related technical instruction, OJT, on-the-job training, which is work experience, and mentorship. And so it's really simple. It's, you know, I'm going to teach you how to do something, or train you how to do something, might be a better word. And then you're going to do it on the job, and I'm going to pay you living wages while you do this on the job, and I'm going to mentor you along the way. So an apprenticeship model is really, really simple, and has standards built into it and credentials built into it. You can register it in your state or at the national level. And it's a whole different beast than an internship program, which usually is unpaid or minimum wage and very, very entry level. Those kids do a lot of those internships. They're not really getting immersed in the job. There's very few or different expectations for them than they would be if they were full-time employees. An apprentice is a full-time employee.
Yeah, and so that's a great great analogy going back 100 years, bricklayers, masons, carpenters, that was all apprenticeship, right? Over a certain period of time, you went from an apprenticeship to a journeyman to a master, right? And so what does that look like today for cyber?
Yeah, so I mean, very similar. My brother is in the construction trades. And he had some RTI front loaded. So he went to school for X amount of time. And then he became an apprentice, making 60% of the wages he would make if he had been there 5 years. And he did all the work and the jobs he had to do, and he got mentorship along the way. And then once a year, he would go to school for a week and get some continuing RTI. And we're used to seeing that in the construction trades, right? In the manual labor. But you know, you and I and a lot of people are sitting here going, but the new skill labor has got to be IT. Why can't we apply this to the IT world? And that's really been the rush the last year or two in workforce, is everybody is trying to figure out what model works best to take this, we call it modern apprenticeship now, take this modern apprenticeship approach to IT and to see if we can even expand that in data science and cybersecurity, software developers, and to see if there is a way to take these kids, young people or transitioners to have part of the experience or high aptitude, and to get them operational in a shorter amount of time, specifically on what we need them to do.
That's great. We're talking to Martha Loffman over at SmoothStack. She's the Director of Workforce Development on Military Programs. We're gonna take a quick break and we're gonna come right back to Martha. Welcome back to the New Cyber Frontier. I am Sean Murray. I'm your host today. We've got Martha Loffman all the way over from SmoothStack. She's the Director of Workforce Development on Military Programs. The conversation today has been on focusing on how we solve some of the gaps in cyber and cybersecurity for credentials. And the unique approach we're discussing today is just a different approach that's come back around, focusing on skill sets, is apprenticeships. So, what unique approaches are you seeing right now to identify that type of solution for apprenticeships?
Yeah. So I think one of the challenges right now that we're seeing in trying to get the apprenticeship model to work at scale is that we don't have, you're not getting credit for the previous education experience you have, right? So we end, and this is kind of true with any model. So we have all these kids going through the CTE program, right? So they're going through these technical programs and getting their Net Plus and Security Plus and learning Linux and Python in high school. And then they finish high school and then they go to community college and they're going to get those all over again, those same classes and same certs, and they're going to go to university. And by that point, even if they did it in high school or community college, they forgot about it. So they have to take it all over again. And then they get out of the university and now they're looking for an internship or an apprenticeship opportunity that doesn't give them credit either. So I think one thing that, you know, the Department of Labor is really pushing, and that all of us that are kind of working at a piece of this pipeline are trying to solve, is how do we make it so everybody's efforts are stackable and are meaningful in their journey? So if we have someone who is in a CTE program and getting, you know, their associate's degree and their certifications in high school, they already have their 2 years done of community college. So they should be able to, at that point, go into, say, an apprenticeship model for 2 years where they make $50,000 a year for 2 years and get additional training certifications. They should get college credit for that OJT and that RTI during that apprenticeship. So by the time they're done, their employer should have a tuition assistance program. At this point, they're 20. They've done 2 years of on-the-job work. They have all their credentials, 3 years of college. Their employer should be able to pick up the tab and pay for their final year of university over time, because it benefits them, right? Most large employers have these programs anyways. And so, you know, when we talk about this model at different conferences and we're having these intellectual conversations on workforce programs, it makes sense, right? And the way that we just laid it out, there's not a single dollar paid from that young person to a school, and they get their four-year degree by the time they're 21 or 22, and they're making $75,000 a year. And it works on paper, but we're not seeing this actually happen in the real world.
And so that's something you think should align under a Department of Labor initiative, right? Some type of construct there.
I mean, the Department of Labor is pretty good. So a lot of people talk about having apprenticeships, but if they're not a registered apprenticeship, that means that the state or the Department of Labor has not given their stamp of approval on that apprenticeship model. So I would be really cautious of apprenticeships that charge you money, that ask you to pay for your related technical instruction, that don't pay fair wages, or that don't have that stamp of approval. So looking for a quality apprenticeship that gives you credit and pays you fairly and is approved is really the direction that I would send my child in.
Yeah, and it's a good point. You know, some of the things that we see additionally, we just released our interns from this past summer. There's a new initiative here in Colorado Springs where all of 13 school districts got together. You may know Bob Gemignani. We had him on the show. He actually started out in School District 49. He had this internship apprenticeship model that they introduced in 40 now. Then now it's like district wide, and it offers an opportunity for a high schooler, a junior, a senior year in high school, to actually go and work in an internship type of position to see if, hey, this is really what I want to do. And so they get my interns have broken into buildings and done cybersecurity assessments and configured routers and done all kinds of cool stuff. And then one of the things we do is we actually, for both of my interns this year, each one of them got a professional cybersecurity certification that they have a credential. They move on. One of my interns is also in the Cyber Patriot in the Civil Air Patrol. So she's got additional exposure. She's actually worked for the previous governor on managing a 30-person program. And that's as a junior in high school. So what would you do with somebody like that? She's got certifications. She's already, she's done a couple of internships. She knows this is what she wants to do. Carrying a 4.0, she's now a senior in high school in her last year. When she transitions out, what do we do with her?
Yeah, so, you know, it's interesting. Youth has really become the focus in the past year, especially with, Department of Labor has redefined youth as under 23. And so that age has bumped up from 21 to 23, which I'm very grateful for, because now it really encompasses all of undergraduates, right? So that junior high all the way to undergrad. And it's really important for us to track our young people and shepherd them along this process, so they're not, you know, we don't have a leaky pipeline, because it's very intimidating. You know, if your teachers don't have industry experience and you don't know where to go and what to do, unless you're a purple unicorn like you just described and a rock star and somebody like Sean picks you up and lets you break into places, that, you know, most people don't have that kind of experience and that red carpet rolled out for them. And so I really think we need programs that plug our leaky pipeline and help people get from high school all the way through, you know, into college, with exit points and entry points that are not dependent, right? And so somebody should be able to go into an apprenticeship right out of high school, right out of the 2Y program, right out of the 4Y program, right out of the military, and then they should be able to exit those different points too. And I think that it's really important that people, you know, young people know what a little bit about the industry and the jobs that are available before they even start to pick their pathway. And sometimes it's okay to be opportunistic, right? And to kind of take life as it comes and just put your next foot forward. But if you do that and you're in technology, you may end up with, you know, skills or education in an area that's not where you want to be, or maybe not where your passion or aptitude lies. And I think that especially young people, even adults, we get confused when we talk about cybersecurity, for example. We get really confused on what it is, and we assume that everybody's a hacker or a computer engineer, And I always like to say that, you know, cybersecurity, it's an industry, not a job, and it's no different than the healthcare industry. And so somebody can be in healthcare industry and they can be a medical bill processor, or they could be an oral surgeon, all very, you know, very, very different roles. And you don't go to the same education program to be a medical bill processor as you do an oral surgeon.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good point. So it's an analogy I use when people ask me, hey, Dr. Marie, I want to be in cybersecurity. I'm like, okay, great. What do you want to do? Well, I want to do cybersecurity. And it goes right back to that analogy, right? We talked about before the session. And that is, you go to school for 8 years and you get a license to practice medicine. And now what do you want to do? Do you want to be a general practitioner? Great, you're qualified. Do you want to be OBGYN? You want to be oncologist, a podiatrist? There's different focuses, different disciplines. And it's the same thing in IT, cybersecurity. And one of the things I look for too is how well-rounded are you? If you focus on one discipline and you don't look at the relationships with other disciplines, then you may have a gap or a lack of understanding how one discipline feeds into another. And so, you know, this, I think under an apprenticeship, where you can be exposed to multiple areas, you will find your niche, right? You know, you can work in construction, but you know, I want to work in drywall. I want to be a carpenter. I want to be in plumbing, right? So what's the discipline? But you also brought up another point, and maybe you can help clarify for our audience, what is the difference between workforce development and professional development? There is a difference, right?
Yeah, and they're both equally important. And I think that we don't always delineate between the two appropriately. So workforce development really is getting people into the workforce. And so that can be a career transitioner who's been in for 20 years and they're retooling to do something totally different in a different industry, like transitioning military. Or that could be somebody who is straight out of high school, I have a CTE program, you know, looking to, you know, start their employment journey. That's workforce development, feeding new people into the industry. Professional development is upskilling talent that is already in the industry. And so I like to think of it as a ladder, right? And my job is to get people in that first rung of the ladder, that first, second, third rung of the ladder. And then somebody who does professional development, their job is to then get people on those different rungs and ladders and, you know, keep moving them up and moving them up.
Okay. So, let's get them in the door, and then we can create that, not just the career path, but the skill set to match those different aspects of the career path. One of the things that we also see as well is, depending on the size of the organization, the various resources that may be available. So if you're a small business, such as my business, there's opportunities, but not as much as, say, you went to work for a Boeing or a Northrop Grumman or a Lockheed Martin, right? And so how do we mentor someone in a career path that all of those rungs that you were just talking about, depending on, you know, what type or size of organization there is?
Yeah, I mean, so I've placed interns and apprenticeship, transitioning military, you know, with micro businesses, small businesses, and then with PwC, Lockheed Martin, you know, Northrop Grumman, to name a few, so the big companies. And I wouldn't necessarily say that you're going to get a better experience at a large company than you would a small company. I think it's a different experience. I think that typically with apprentice and interns at the larger companies, they're getting a very polished experience. At a smaller company, you know, they're getting much more hands-on. They're working directly with that owner or that CEO or that CISO. They're working directly with the, you know, computer, the engineers, software developers, that kind of stuff. So I feel like they get more hands-on experience and responsibility, whereas maybe the larger companies have more liability there. It's a little bit more of a, you know, the process. It's more process focused for them and less like, hey, get in here, you know, let me buy you breakfast and let's talk about what you want to do today. So I think it's just different. And I know me personally, I love working for small companies and entrepreneurs. Like that's where I feel, you know, at home. And I think that's really more of a person culture fit and where you're going to feel like you get the most out of it.
Yeah, and so I'm going to tend to agree with you there. And I can tell you, just based on the feedback I get from my interns, you know, they're like, we got to break into a building today. Yeah. you know, under my supervision. So,
yeah, and it was condoned as legal.
Yes,
I feel like you need a disclaimer at the bottom of this.
Yeah, do not try this at home. You know, there's a letter, there's a statement of work, there's all of this. And so you really do have to explain that aspect of it first. Like, hey, so the company's hired us, this is what the objectives are, and we're going to see if we can get through here and by spraying a can of air through a little gap to open up a motion sensor on a door. Yeah, that's really cool. It took us 10 seconds to do that. But, you know, that's something that they're not going to forget. You know, we've been talking to Martha Loffman. She's the Director of Workforce Development for Military Programs over at SmoothStack today. You know, the cyber credentials, the cyber gap, IT, cybersecurity, apprenticeships, great new topic. Yeah, you know, we're at the end of our segment. What are your parting words for our audience on this discussion, Martha?
I think, you know, just a little bit about my personal mission and why I do this and why I'm so passionate about it. I was originally a counselor by trade and then became a career counselor on the military base. And it was during that time, my husband lost his legs in the war and he was unemployed and was having a really hard time finding employment. And my job was to find other service members' employment. I was unable to help him at the time and help him find a job. And you know, what that did to him and how that crushed him really personally impacted me in my personal life. And then in my professional life, I had all these service members coming to me saying, but Martha, you said if I got a Security Plus, I could get a job and I can make X amount of money. And I'm like, but that's what the CompTIA poster said. Don't hate me if you're from CompTIA, I love you. but you know, at the time, that's really what was going around. And you know, it occurred to me, this was about, you know, 6 years ago, that there was some kind of disconnect. We had all of this amazing talent that, you know, had high aptitudes and a passion and really wanted to contribute, you know, in IT, in cyber in general. And there was some disconnect between us and workforce and in industry, getting them those jobs. And I thought, you know, better than going back and being a counselor or a social worker, the best thing I could do to help people like my husband and other service members and other people from underrepresented populations really make an impact in their family and their community, the best thing I could do is help create these workforce programs. And, you know, not creating individual opportunity, but getting whole programs to help people get into the employment that quite honestly they deserve and we have a need for. And I will talk all day and all night to anybody about, you know, creating these, you know, thoughtful programs that are mutually beneficial for the community and the employer. There's lots of money out there with grants. There's lots of schools and trainers that want to contribute. You know, there's so many people out there that have a passion for this, and it's really just pulling the pieces together and making it make business sense. So, you know, business owners and companies will, you know, give a chance and hire, you know, groups of people that, you know, can use the opportunity. So that's why I'm driven. That's why I do what I do. So I would love to help in any way for anybody in any opportunity.
Well, thank you so much, Martha. We've been talking with Martha Loffman. Loffman from SmoothStack, Director of Workforce Development for Military Programs. Very passionate in her career field. Great representation for the topic today. Continued discussion on cybersecurity skill gap shortage. Unique approaches coming out of SmoothStack. Martha, thanks so much for contributing to the program today.
Thanks, Sean.
Thank you for listening to New Cyber Frontier. Remember to follow or like our post and circulate each new show to your networks. We keep you informed, bring you the latest news, explore new trends, and find the hottest topics. With New Cyber Frontier, you don't have to be a computer or cybersecurity expert. Just get plugged in. We encourage you to get involved. Tell us what topics interest you and join our mailing lists. You can find us on the web at www.newcyberfrontier.com. That's newcyberfrontier.com. Check out our previous interviews and please let us know if there are any topics that you would like to hear discussed. See you next time on New Cyber Frontier.